afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to this call, which is on BBS Radio also. This is Terry Brown, the co-host, and introducing Win Free in the Win Free show.
You know what? I don't know what
Monday night, the 23rd of May, 2011. Win, are you there?
This is the Win Free and Friends show, okay?
Okay, all right.
This is the Win Free and Terry Brown show.
Okay.
Terry is an equal member of this show. And if anyone's listening for the first time, this is a conference call that's simulcast with an internet radio broadcast. And we're going to be tapped into the conference call in just a minute. And on this call, we explore some of the deepest subjects in the history of mankind. And those of you that have listened regularly know that I have conversations with sources through Terry, and they identify themselves as the source that created the physical universe. Is that true? I don't tell people to believe it. I say, listen to the calls, and you decide. They explain to us many things about the way things work that I don't believe has ever been publicly put out. And it happens right here on tonight's show. So on that note, we have the conference call in session, and we're going to tap into it in just a moment. And thank you all for being here. And we are going to be doing a live, unrehearsed conversation with a voice that says it created the physical universe. And we will be having questions to them about how things work. If you're a human, don't you want to know? I do. Okay, so let's check into the conference call, and we'll see if everything, all systems are working well. And when I push this little button here.
There are two moderators and two participants
on the call.
Are we on the call?
Yes, Win.
Hi, that's Ives. He's my producer. And there's people checking in. Go ahead, Hayes.
Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and city.
Hi.
Hello.
It's Camille in Malibu.
Camille, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing
Hi, Win.
Good.
Hi, Camille. Nice to have you.
Thank you. I was sitting here working away, and I got a call and that told me to get on the line, so I'm here.
Right. We have a really interesting topic tonight.
Well, I can't wait.
Except Terry doesn't know what it is.
I have no idea.
We had somebody else just call in. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and city.
Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria, Arizona. How are you guys?
Hello, Cindy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how you doing?
You know, Terry is in Phoenix.
Oh, she is? Where's she at?
She's in Scottsdale.
And is she visiting somebody, or is she...
She left me.
No, she left you.
I'm visiting.
Well, hi, Terry. We're like neighbors now.
Oh, all right.
Hey, you get message a day, don't you? Right?
Me?
Yeah. One day I'm going to do something in Phoenix and just invite people who are on our list to come hang out with us. And then...
I love that idea.
Well, you'd be surprised. You know what? Sometimes it's better that no one ever meets us. For a while, I said, I'm not meeting anybody. You know why that is? It's because people have too big expectations. And because what we do, I know what we do is very, I don't know, what's the word, impressive or out there. It's out there.
And unique.
And we're still humans. God, you know, so sometimes, as long as you meet somebody and you're in a great mood, it's fine. But if you're having an off day, uh-oh. How could you dare have an off day?
I know, when you're face to face with somebody, huh?
Yeah. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, right.
So if we do this, you have to, now actually, if I do a group, it usually works. It's like one-on-one that it screws up. Because a group, you know what happens is, the energy comes in when we do a group. Even on these calls, the energy comes in. And believe it or not, when you start to get into the flow, then each moment is a new moment. So when you have all this energy, we look better. You know, like somehow or another, our human, what's the word? The shadow side takes a inferior position. Not so apparent. Well, when you're one-on-one with somebody, oftentimes your shadows, especially on bad days, your shadow side is in the front. And
in groups, everyone's uplifting each other too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Positive
energy. Mm-hmm. See, now that I told you all that, now you can handle us. Okay.
I'm ready.
Did somebody else just check in?
Yeah, Isis in Brooklyn.
Hello, Isis.
Hi, guys.
Now, Isis, you have the most beautiful, sensitive, and shy voice. And I'll probably get in trouble for saying that.
No, it's fine.
Okay. All right, just letting you know.
Thank you, though.
Who just came on? Did it say her name and city?
Hi, this is Edna.
Hi, Edna.
Hi, Edna.
Next to Seattle, right?
Hi, Edna.
Now, you folks listening on BBS wonder, when do they get on with the show? But you know what? This is part of the show. There is no show. That's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. This is I'm going to give you a very interesting concept of a way that I've come to look at things. But I'm not sure I'm right. I'm going to ask our sources, do I have this correct? So on that note, I'm going to mute everybody. We'll start our recording. And if any of you are listening on BBS and you've never taken advantage of this, we have a service called the Spirit Channel where you can get all the transcripts and calls and audios in your email. And it's really helpful for some people. I've watched and observed how listening to these calls regularly just has a effect on your consciousness that over a period of time kind of shifts things. And it's very subtle, but it's profound. Well, in any case, would you like to say your name and your city?
It's Dee Collier from Missouri.
Hello, Dee.
Hi, Wynn.
How's your husband doing?
Not very well, but we're managing.
Let's send him the light right now, okay? Just everybody, shut your eyes. Your husband's having a hard time. Let's send him energy and for the highest good of all concerned. Okay.
Thank you, Wynn.
I'm going to mute everybody.
Wynn? Oh.
Yes, okay, you're not muted yet.
Okay, I just wanted to say, I only live 24 miles from Joplin, Missouri, and I don't know how many of you have listened out there, but we got hit really, really bad with the F4 tornado. It took out the whole city. So if you guys will send love and light through the day, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You know what? We'll take a moment and do that during the call, okay? And you know, we had been sending so much energy to that area for no earthquakes, and we didn't include tornadoes. We have to do better next time. I'm going to ask them a question about that. Maybe we should just say send energy to the area for earthquakes and anything else that's for the highest good of all concerned.
They said, you know, it was the worst tornado that the state of Missouri has ever had.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe it. So, let me mute you.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
This is May 23rd, 2011, and this is Wynn in Sedona and Terry in Phoenix. And this is our Monday night conference call. And we have an interesting topic, but the real topic is going to be far more deep than the topic I announced. And let's see. I think the topic was one size doesn't fit all. But ever since I sent that out, I've been thinking about it. And I was thinking that maybe one size does fit all. And how does that work? And what I was thinking when I put that idea out for a topic is how individual we all are, and that we're looking for simple things. And you know what? If there was a simple thing that one person could say, do this, think that, believe this, our world wouldn't be in a quandary now, because everyone would have done it already. And even the best of the best have failed to create something so simple that everyone could apply it and shift. And of course, as we're learning on our calls, each of us has a very unique...
Entry and exit chimes are off.
...energy signature. And each of us... Okay, let's just take a look at one point, there's... At somewhere in the universe, right now, in this moment, there is a core of energy. And that core of energy spreads out into the entire universe. And in fact, the universe is made of that energy. And somewhere at the core of energy, which we call the center of the universe, exists an intelligence or a group of intelligence that have called themselves the Elohim. And they are able to manifest to us, to go through all those fields to get here and talk through Terry. Not only talk through Terry, but to come in as an energy that we all feel. Now, each of us started at that core of the universe sometime in the distant past, came in and took a body, or the energy formed around the body. You know, there was one question we asked that I thought was extremely fascinating, which was, how does a soul get attached to a body? Well, they said it started with the DNA, and then the DNA would pull in the soul, or what would create an energy around it that would come and differentiate itself. So that's a very interesting idea. And of course, in this kind of information, I never say anybody they should believe it, because I can't even prove that. But it's a very interesting concept that if you create a certain form of DNA, the DNA then pulls in the energy and forms it around the DNA so that it has a unique individual energy signature. Prior to that, there was no individuated energy. And so this is an interesting idea about cloning. If somebody clones themselves and they make an exact DNA copy of themselves, then what would happen to the energy that gets pulled into that clone? Is it the same soul as the original person? Is it a duplicate of that soul? Is it very similar? Does it have the memories immediately? I think I'll ask that question, although we're not into cloning. Just to understand the nature of life, of how that works. But in any case, when we started out, we were kind of fairly innocent and pure in one respect, but not necessarily very evolved, innocent and simple. And then over many, many eons of lifetimes, we started to keep reforming and recreating that signature that was us, that energy signature, which some people call a soul, to the present time when we have, each of us, a very complex energy signature. And we sit here in our bodies and in our conscious minds, and we want things to change and get different, and we say, how do we do that? Well, obviously, there are going to be certain techniques which are going to, our energy signature, our very unique way of being, is going to respond to a certain thing where someone else would respond to something completely different. You know, the system of yoga in India actually takes this into consideration. They have, I'm not going to remember them all, but they have four or five different kinds of yoga. And they say, depending on a person's nature, that they would gravitate to one yoga or another. For example, there is bhakti yoga. Bhakti is devotion. So those people love to pray, go to church. They have, you know, a woman who's devoted to her man. Or, you know, there's a quality of devotion that a whole yoga is formed around. And all the exercises in that particular yoga are going to connect with devotion. And then there's another kind of yoga. Let me see if I remember the name. It might be called jhana yoga. Not sure. But it's the yoga of wisdom. And it has to do with learning the deep understandings of the way things work and to appeal to a person whose nature is looking for wisdom. And then, of course, the most popular form of yoga is Hatha yoga. And Hatha yoga has to do with the physical body moving into different postures. And that's the one that most people go to when they attend the local yoga classes, Hatha yoga. And I think there's more yogas than that. Now, it doesn't mean that you're just one or the other. I mean, obviously, you can be devotional and wise at the same time, and you can have a physical body so you can do Hatha yoga. But it's, where is the leaning for you? It has to do with your entire track and all the energy signatures that you've picked up from the beginning of your individuation. So each of us, in some degree, for our physical learning process in this realm, has to find those techniques, those paths that resonate with them, that are unique to them. And some people are vegetarians. Some people love lots of meat. So Some people are celibate. Some people are sex maniacs. Some people are this, that, the other thing. There's all these different natures that people have. And, you know, probably Shakespeare, I think it was Shakespeare that said, to thine own self be true. Ultimately, only you can figure out your nature and what works for you. And now I'm going to go into, this is where this gets really interesting, because I'm going to go into a look at something that I was intuiting, because our groups always refer to the law of one. What happens in the law of one? How does oneness reconcile itself with individuality? How does that work? Well, now here's where I'm going to go off and speculate. And then when we talk to our sources through Terry, I'm going to get some clarification on my speculation. Many people that are involved in spiritual groups today, spiritual awareness, talk about something called the quantum field or zero point energy. And there's a physics principle. I believe it's called the Heisenberger principle that discusses the wave particle idea of matter. And let's see if I get this correct. I didn't study this exactly before this talk, so I hope I don't make any gross mistakes in my physics. At the smallest piece of matter, there are certain experiments where it behaves like a solid, and other experiments that it behaves like a wave. It's a particle, and then it's a wave. Now, for a long time, this stumped scientists. How could it be a particle, and how could it be a wave? And the idea is that it blinks back and forth. It keeps going from wave to particle to wave to particle. And so when it needs to be a wave, the wave side of it will work on the measurements, and when it needs to be a particle, the particle side will work. And this is a very interesting concept, because if we apply this to our consciousness, which is what we're going to do today, we're going to apply it to our consciousness. What if our consciousness was a wave and a particle? What if all of us were blinking on and off all the time? And when we're on, we're in the physical world, particle. And when we're off, we're in the wave world, metaphysical. And for most of us, we miss the blinking. Now, what I'm telling you is no way truth. This is my putting stuff together, and then we're going to ask about it and see what they say, if I'm on the right track. If you look at a picture in a magazine, you will know that there are what's called little dots. And there's so many dots that they form a picture. And you don't realize they're dots. It's the same thing with the television screen. They're lines. There's so many lines that we don't realize they're lines. We see pictures. Well, I'm going to propose that physical reality is similar in that, we've been like on and off, on and off, on and off, and our consciousness pulls in all the places where we're on, and it looks like a continuum. But it's not really a continuum. It's a blinking. And that when we're in the particle phase, we are in a universe where everything is constructed and solid and real, so to speak. But when we blink off, we are in our non-physical existence. And in the blink off, there's no space or time. We disappear into nothingness. Just as if you took a picture in a newspaper, and instead of looking at all the dots, you looked at all the spaces in between the dots, and you'd have a blank picture, okay? So both exist, but we tend to flow it all together so that we only see what's solid. Now, my theory is, in that blink off, we are in the oneness. We are in the place of original creation. We are in the place of our sources. There's no separation. It's all connected. Sometimes when we talk, I suddenly stop talking and I say, can you feel the space? Now, in my theory here, we are in the quantum space. And when we want to shift our lives, all we need to do is blink into that space and insert some intentions, and then the physical universe, the blink on, starts to recreate. Now, that's my theory. That's how it feels when I think about it. And that's a very different way of looking at our sources. Because oftentimes, when we visualize the center of the universe, we have something which is very far away. I mean, we know there's galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and planets and light years, etc. But what if on the blink off, there was no distance and no time? Feel the energy when I stop talking. So, the question is, if that's true, how do we move into the blink off and insert a recreative energy so when we blink on, something shifted for the better? Now, I'm telling you a theory. There's no way to prove it. But we are going to bring in our sources and question them about this. Because if I'm correct, we're on the edge of a technique that can be applied to everyone's life to bring in the things they want. Now, is it different from calling in the light? I don't think so. It's when we're calling in the light and we do Father, Mother, God, we're expanding through the entire, in our invocation anyway, we're expanding through the entire physical universe and bringing energy in from the center of the universe. That's what we say. But what if what we're really doing is moving into the place where we're blinked off, and there is no time or space, and we're coming close to anything and everything we think about and intend, because we're on the blink off of the field. And in that space is where everything starts. Now, I don't even know if this makes sense to you guys, but we're going to run it up the flag. And Terry's conscious mind, are you there?
Yes,
hello,
I'm
Terry.
Here. I'm here.
You know, I used to be a physics major. So some of this stuff about quantum physics, I remember way back when. I really did lose total interest in being a physics professor at one point. But nonetheless, there's a part of my mind that still thinks that way. And Terry, you used to study physics as well, right?
Yes, I have a degree in physics.
You're ahead of me. Okay. What college did you go to?
Lewis and Clark College.
Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
That was in the middle of the country somewhere, right?
It was across the river from Reed College in Oregon.
I love Lewis and Clark. I saw that TV show on them. And do you guys know about Lewis and Clark? There were these two guys that decided to explore the United States and to lay out new territory. And they had to make friends with Indians. They had, you know, there was just the two of them. I forget how they were traveling. And when they came back, one was made a public servant and the other couldn't handle it. They were such heroes. He was such a hero, he couldn't stand the recognition. And I think he died. But there was a beautiful show on PBS one time. Now, well, from your conscious mind point of view about what I just said, does any of that make any sense to you?
Yes. Yes. I probably would put a little different slant on it, but and that slant would be that, I'm starting to go into the channeling mode.
All right, let's just forget you, and we'll just talk to them, okay?
Okay.
you don't mind, do you?
No. The other thing that I'm picking up is the extreme attention on of the people in the area of Joplin that are focused on the on the new storms coming through right now, and
maybe we might want to
do something.
Maybe before I go into my topic, we'll just bring that up and see if we can't send some group energy in that area. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Vin, will you back away from the microphone a little bit? You're breathing in it, and also sometimes it doesn't sound so good.
Is that better right now?
Great.
Thank you. Now, I never heard Johnny Carson's producer come on and say, Johnny, back away from the microphone. Of course, he probably had
Johnny never breathed into the mic.
He probably had mic guards, you know, foam and stuff. All right. Or else if he did something wrong, they would run up to him with a teleprompter and say, Johnny, get away from the microphone.
Hey, Vin, was it one size fits all related to last week's topic?
Was I talking about condoms last week? Now, that was my subconscious to just put that in. Forget that. Cancel that. This is a spiritual show. What was last week's topic?
Sex.
Oh, I see. I can't remember. That's what happened. That's why people that start doing this stuff starting can't remember stuff, because they start living in the spaces and the memory is in the other section, okay? And that's my theory, anyway. But in any case, let's call in the light, and we'll start off with bringing energy into the Missouri area, however it should be done. And then we'll go into this topic. And we can go over a little bit tonight, but not too long, because then Terry starts bitching. She says, I have to sleep all the time. So, are you laughing about that, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
It's true, isn't it?
Yes.
She says, you got to be sure and stop at 7, you know. But actually, it really is true. You guys, you know, Terry does this so easily and seamlessly. It seems like there's no repercussions. But having observed her for a long time in this process, see, one of the things that I do imagine that it's possible to go into the field and do this with no repercussions. I guess it's possible. But in general, moving back and forth from this nothingness to somethingness and nothingness to somethingness, the somethingness part of us always has some drag. Plus, when we meet everyone else in the nothingness, and then we go into somethingness, we carry a little bit of energy from everybody into it. Well, I'll tell you a story where I learned this, and it was a couple of years ago, and I had come to Sedona, and I decided I was going to do a public talk. And there was a little restaurant that had a free room that they would give me, their banquet room, to do a talk if people ate dinner. So we did a talk, and then we took a dinner break. And then I came back to talk again. Now, that seems simple enough, but what I found out was I made a terrible error in organizing my talk that way, because what happened was when I'm talking and when Terry's channeling, we are in the midst of creating a group energy. Or another way of putting it is we are, with my theory here, is we're going into the wave part of consciousness where there is no existence, there's nothingness, and that those of you that are feeling the energy are coming into that with us. We're going into it as a group. And I'm kind of getting used to holding this energy. Terry's getting more used to it. But many times people on this call or people that are hearing us first time are not used to it. So what happened at this dinner is I created, and I don't even, when I say I created, I did not do it. I just showed up and talked. But I experienced a group energy forming as I was talking. And then we ate dinner. And when we stopped to eat dinner, the group energy totally fell apart. And it was like this: I was in this energy that was being pulled apart, almost like, you know how they take a body, and if they want to pull a body apart, they attach things to the arms and the legs, and the horses go each different way. Well, that's how I felt like my energy field was. I was in the group energy, and as soon as we ate dinner, it was like it went back to the individual energies. Well, how are you doing? What's going on? We really like that. And everyone was engaged in an energy of separation, not terrible separation, but like, oh, well, let's get to know these people. We live in the same town. And I'm sitting there, and as that separation occurred, I was in the middle of it, and I started getting headaches. I started getting nauseous. I was sitting there. I couldn't eat my dinner. I told everybody, excuse me, I'm going to have to leave. I went out and sat in my car till everybody finished dinner. I came back, and I was still separated. I was still, like, fragmented. And I had a huge throbbing headache, and I tried really hard, and I pulled it together. And I got the group energy to come back in, but I still had the headache for the rest of the evening. So, you know, when we're doing these calls, I think something similar happens, that on the call, there's a group energy, and that we are actually part of you. You're part of us for the moment. And when the call ends, there's a certain rehabilitation time so that we come back to ourselves. And it's probably true for some of you. As you get used to holding these frequencies, when the call ends, you feel the frequencies of the call, and you now have to go back, and you're dealing with yourself as a father or a husband or a wife or going to work. And each moment, the deal is, even though we may be moving into this quantum field on this call, when the call is over, it's a new moment. And can you step into the next moment and recreate being in space in that moment? Oftentimes, people don't learn how to do that quickly. And so then they look back at this and say, oh, that was awesome, or that was great, or they'll put me on a pedestal. And it's not me. We're doing it, except I've learned to be in the space. And it's not a linear process. I don't know how to tell you how to do that other than share my experiences. And you have to pick it up and take it home and do it yourself. But the idea of being in the space instead of in the solid part and seeing your life as a blinking consciousness that's moving from solid to field or wave, and start looking for the wave, and then you move into that place of recreation of not only your life, but the physical universe you live in. Now I'll shut up. And what time is it? It's 6:42. Luckily, we can go over, so people won't be too mad at me. And we will talk about, let's see here. There's some possibility I might go off when I put this power cord in. I want to put it in before I start so I don't get desperate. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is May 23rd, 2011. And we welcome each and every one of you. We are mindful of the difficulties in the middle of your country in the United States, and we send love light to the people of the area, and we send to the clouds, to the storms. We speak slowly to absorb some of the impact. We move on to the topic for tonight. When an individual is in the third dimension, and then they... Can you hear me?
No.
You can't hear me? I'm channeling. I can't hear anybody either. Yeah. Okay, thank you. BBS dropped me out. We can't hear you because of breathing in the mic. Let's back up.
Thank you.
hear both at the same time. Hello?
Hi, we are live on BBS Radio.
Thank you. And then, now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to continue my channeling, and then Seth is going to go and bring the people on the conference line and win on the conference line back onto BBS. So they should be joining us soon. We were in the middle of the channeling, and we are now resuming the channel. The questions that were asked in the preface to the channeling will be addressed in the channeling. Give us a moment as we still feel the energies at the center of the United States and the concern. And again, we send forbearance. We send energy of love light to the clouds. We speak slowly as we do this. Then we are mindful of the questions that were asked and the wave, particle, information when an individual moves into our realm. It is an area with no time, no manifestation. This allows us to be able to move in and out of the manifestation and back out of manifestation. When one moves from the physical realm out of manifestation, they have no ego. The ego does not follow into a no time zone. One in our realm, in the realm of the Elohim, is in an area with little time or low time. And the time in our zone goes much faster than the time in the third dimension. It is very slow in the third dimension. And from the higher realms, one can move into an area of no time. This gives them a jump-off place to move from any position to any position. So when you say that we move from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the solar system, we are more non-linear, and we can not move through space, location, time, but we can simply be there non-linearly. So in the area of no time, when you say one enters that as they blink off, in this area, there is no time, no space, no ego, no pride. This gives you some clues as to how you can translate into no time. And it is easy to do or hard to do depending upon the baggage you carry with you. Do you have questions? Are you on the line?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I want to mute everybody because we're having background noise. And then I want you to do star six, Terry, to do star six to unmute.
Muted.
I am on the BBS line, so...
Are you there, Terry?
We do not need to unmute. Do you have further questions?
Unmuted.
Okay, that's not working. Terry, are you there?
I am here. I can hear you perfectly.
Did you push star six when I had mentioned that? Not now. Not now. I have to mute everybody and then do it, okay? Let me try it again. I think everyone's muted themselves by this time because the line's quieted down, but let me try.
Muted.
Now is the time to press star six and talk and see if I hear you.
Star six is not working at this time.
Now I hear you. Now I hear you. Okay? Are you there?
We are on BBS radio.
You're also on the conference line. I can hear you on the conference line. Okay?
Thank you. Do you have further questions for us?
Well, in the idea of the consciousness blinking on and off, is there any, from a human standpoint, is there any substantiation for looking at it that way that can be helpful for a human? In other words, the theory is that you exist in the place where things blink off, and we exist more in the place where things blink on. We have a predisposition to observe the blink-ons and the blink-offs. But when we can let go of the blink-ons enough and move into the blink-off, we become open to the field that connects with all that is. That's the theory, okay?
That is correct. It may take practice to stay for any amount of time in the field of the other side, which is no field. As one cannot carry baggage with them, they cannot carry pride and ego and self-importance, and moves in instead into the realm of all that is, which is at that point unmanifest.
So when we learn how to do this, it's kind of like we go into the field of all that is, and then we drop a little bit of thought in there for the highest good, to train, to make something shift in the field of all that isn't, or the physical universe where everything is differentiated. And we can go back and forth, and then we can start initiating changes in this realm, which is kind of what happens, I'm just speculating here, when we call in the light. And we ask for healings, or we ask to send the energy somewhere.
Yes, if it is for the highest good.
Mm-hmm. If it's not for the highest good, then the energy doesn't flow through the void. Something like that.
Then it would be hard to stay in the other side.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we could make a mistake and think it's for the highest good, and it's not, and then it just doesn't happen.
Then the gears, the works of all that is, would tend to delete it.
Mm-hmm.
If not in the short run, in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were going to do some work on Joplin, Missouri. Did you do that while where Terry was off the line?
Yes, however, we were on the line with the BBS audience, and it would pay to do it again, as mm-hmm. there is continued storms in the area based upon the coming together of air currents from the Gulf and from the Rockies. And so rather than totally look at the area above Joplin and its surroundings, although this is good, can extend the area looked at to the west and to the south. We take a moment and ask, that
we just go ahead.
We are speaking slowly as we are there. That there be a change in the storm for the better. It is not only one area, it is many areas that are undergoing severe storms. So we back up our focus and send love light to the broad area. Thank you.
You know, on the Sunday grid healing, we had asked for a lot of healing and intervention in terms of the Imadrid fault, but we didn't say anything about tornadoes. If we said something about tornadoes, might that have been included, or was this tornado that was something that had to occur regardless?
Yep. Based upon all the factors involved, it had to occur. However, if we had looked broader at the time, we may have eased some of it.
When we asked for help in a certain area, could we include, like, the catch-all, like, whatever needs to be done for the highest good to keep that area safe, and that would cover these kinds of events?
It is best to ask more specifically, and that it is not only this area that needs to be looked at, it is other areas leading into this area.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can we know how to ask? There was no way to anticipate. At least I had no way of anticipating a tornado.
There have been numerous tornadoes in the area and numerous copious quantities of flooding, water, and that can be addressed also.
Maybe we could ask you when we do this to say, is there anything else we should address?
You can do that.
Pardon me?
Yes.
That would be an okay protocol.
Yes.
So if there's something we should address and don't know it, we'll ask and then you can mention it. Okay. Can you explain in the creation of the universe how this particle field got started? Why was it necessary to have a particle field variation as part of the functioning of a working universe?
It is the basis for life and the basis for the manifestation of physical matter and physicalities. It is why life developed, why physicalities developed. Without the basics, physicality would not have developed. It is part of the warp and warp of the foundation of matter.
When we use warp and warp, is that another way of saying particle wave?
It is a word for indicating the basics, the basis, the building blocks of matter.
I remember when we first talked about the creation of the universe, you talked about two Elohim souls or more would send waves out, and where the waves intersected, there would be, if I have this, my memory correct, where the waves intersected, something would persist. There would be a beginning of physicality. And we know in physics that when waves intersect, you get harmonics. In physics, you get a new frequency, two new frequencies at least, that are different from the frequencies of the original waves. You get the two frequencies added together, and you get the two frequencies subtracted, which are called harmonics. How did this principle engage itself in this aspect of the beginning of creation? If it did.
The formation of matter came about when there was the intersection of the waves, and the formation of matter did not come about until they blinked on and off a certain frequency. And then matter began its appearance.
Well, now I'll never understand. I don't think I can grasp that with my conscious mind, how that works. I just have to go on faith that it worked that way, that when frequencies came together, there was something unique in the properties that created persistence or solidification as a result of the frequencies coming together. Of course, all frequencies, all waves, if they're sine waves, I don't know if you guys know what a sine wave is, but a frequency is something that goes on and off, on and off, boom, 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 boom. Now, a square wave would indicate that when it came on at full amplitude, and when it turned off, it would be zero. So it would be like turning a light switch on and off so many times per second. Now, a sine wave is a wave that reaches its full amplitude slowly and then declines slowly. Of course, when I say slowly, when we're talking about high frequencies, it's very fast. But if you looked at it and you could see the wave, you could see it didn't just come on and then go off. It would go up slowly. Were the frequencies of the original creation, were they sine waves?
They would create, as Hugh had a spinning toroid, and you had a second spinning toroid, and these spinning toroids moved into each other's field at some point. The toroid energies would intersect with each other, and as they intersected, they would create interference with their motion, with each one's individual motion. This interference created a little time delay in the motion. And thus, time was born. The blinking, the spinningness also created time in the spinning. But when the two intersected, it created an interference pattern, which was a slower time. Now, one could graph that, and the resulting graph could be a short, since it is so quick, a short, slight square wave, but not a typical square wave, but not a sine wave. Does this make more sense?
Yes. When two people gather together with a common purpose and a high intention, I believe there's a predisposition for both of them to help lift each other's consciousness into the space where it's harder for them to do it individually, which is why we do team shift calls, why we do group calls. Because if we could do it individually, then I would just say, okay, guys, I'm here. Here's what I'd like for the highest good. but I can't do that myself. It needs a group down here. In a certain way, when a group comes together, are we all projecting energies out that create interference patterns that start potential for recreation of physical manifestations?
When an individual is in sync with another individual, as you do on the call, then you move together. When an individual is with another and they are, each individual is in motion, and then they get together and harmonize, they can help bring up the motion of the other. It's when a person is in motion, it is easier to reach one's goals.
So individuals coming together create more motion, more...
That is...
This is
correct.
And in truth, this is really the physics of prayer. Could we say that?
Yes.
Group prayer, anyway. So,
yes.
On that note, I think we'll bring this call to an end. And it is 7:17, and I thank you for being with us and answering our questions. And for a moment, all of you on the line could open up to the quantum space of nothingness. And we'll just take a moment of silence and let these energies permeate us for the highest good. Okay, so we say goodnight to everyone on the call, on the replays, on the downloads. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of this work we're doing. And we'll see you again Wednesday. Submit your questions to questions@messageaday.net. I thank Terry so much for dedicating herself to this work. And I thank all the people that are volunteering. Suzanne, Connie, Hayes, Gary, Edna, and Gina that makes this possible. And we'll see you soon.
Your conference recording has stopped. Muted. Unmuted.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much. See you later.
Thank you so much, back.